Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, all right, welcome back in. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. I hope your Tuesday afternoon's going well. Dirt texted me last night, hey, dude, really enjoyed doing the show without you. Could you not come in? I said, sorry, man, I have to.
No, I gave you an on-air thank you yesterday for choosing a day off that there was like a million things going on. You didn't pick in like the middle of April when there was absolutely nothing. So I appreciate that, man.
Well, I felt like I should have been doing the show.
It's weird when you're out when there's a lot going on. Yeah. It's not a good feeling.
No,
I was missing out.
Damn it. Can't give my hot takes.
I got so many takes.
But all right, second hour, let's kick it off. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Rockets, Blazers tonight, 6 o'clock on TNT. Rockets 2-0 in the bubble. Blazers 1-1. They were down big to the Celtics, came back, made it a game late, but Boston pulled away. They're fighting, obviously, for that 8-9 matchup to get in the postseason. And Chris joins us now. He's on Twitter, at Chris Gordy. Chris, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, man. I always appreciate the time. What do you make of the Rockets thus far? Huge win their first game and coming back, and then their second game beating the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's been nothing short of impressive when you talk about a team that, you know, went before the whole shutdown and pause on the season. I mean, this is a team that was really struggling. You know, they were fortunate to get a win against Minnesota and grind it out in that last game before everything shut down, but they had lost several games in a row. They were dealing with injuries. James Harden was kind of banged up. Eric Gordon was dealing with a knee issue. So, I mean, they were really just not in good health. And, you know, the whole shutdown was kind of a blessing in disguise for them. It allowed them to get back healthy, allowed James Harden to kind of trim down, lose some weight, get back into better shape. And, man, Mike D'Antoni's system is really, really cooking on offense. Now, on defense, they've got their issues. But, look, I'll say this. There's a thing such as, you know, called – clutch time in the last 2 minutes of a game, and their defense has stepped up when it matters most, especially against Dallas and against Milwaukee. So, look, they're going to give up a lot, they're going to score a lot, but as long as they're playing that clutch time defense the last 2 minutes, they're going to win a lot of more games.
Well, sounds like tonight's game might be 165-160 because we got a pretty similar team here in Portland. So I'm looking forward to that.
Dude, I was going to ask Chris, like, who's playing defense in the bubble? Everybody's getting to 120.
Well,
now.
Didn't Harden come up with some big stops? Like, everybody criticizes his defense, man. And we love making fun of James Harden. I'm sure you guys love him in Houston, but he played great defensively late in that game against Milwaukee.
Yeah, look, I, and let's not get it wrong. I mean, nobody's going to confuse Harden with, you know, Gary Payton or something like that. But he is much better defensively than he gets credit for, especially down in the post. He has gone against some big men time and time again and been able to hold his own. And I think he kind of took that personal with Giannis Antetokounmpo after the All-Star game, saying, oh, we were looking for whoever Harden was covering and that sort of thing. But he's actually pretty good. And he's pesky. He'll get his hands in there. He'll swat the ball away. So, yeah, I think kind of an underrated defensive guy. Again, not for a whole game, but in spot moments, he can play good defense. And that's what we've seen down the stretch in both these games, especially the other night. I mean, he's one-on-one against Giannis. He forces Giannis to pass the ball, and it goes right into the hands of a Rockets defender. So, his game is what it is. It's so funny. Somebody brought it to me the other day and said, people always bitch and moan about what Harden does, defensively. why do we just ignore his offense and how special he is on offense? It's like, hey, that's a whole other part of his game that's special.
Right,
so
right.
It's just so funny. But people pick and choose what they want to complain about.
Yeah, Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790 Radio over there in Houston is our guest here. Blazers, Rockets tonight, 6 o'clock on TNT. Look, I say this mostly joking, but at this point I've seen so many bubble games that I think the NBA is going to be very weird come postseason time. You don't get the big crowd reactions that you normally do. Home court is irrelevant. You're seeing teams play so much better or so much worse than what you expect. It could be an odd year. So are we looking at a Western Conference Finals preview tonight?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, look, I thought you guys were going to pull off the comeback against Boston the other night.
God,
that was a heck of a comeback,
yeah.
Heck of a game. But it just shows how hungry these teams are. And kudos to the NBA for, you know, it would have been easy to just go, we're going to go top eight teams in the East and the West, and that's it. Kudos to them for bringing in the Pelicans, bringing in the Spurs, and the Grizzlies and all these other teams and letting them battle it out. And you know, look, you guys got a little help last night with the Pelicans knocking off the Grizzlies, but this is going to be a heck of a fight. And so, yeah, I mean, when you talk about this game tonight, this is a big, big game for Portland. For Houston, it doesn't mean much. I mean, I know they just got into the fourth spot, but I was talking with somebody today. Does it really matter if you're 4, 5, 6? I mean,
right. You
know, if you're Houston and you're hosting Utah, or it's Utah hosting Houston, it's not going to matter because there is no home court advantage. And you know, somebody was talking about Denver. Are they as scary without the mile-high altitude? You know, they're still really good, but that is a big part of having to go play road games in Denver. So it is interesting with no fans and no home court advantage. You know, it's just about punching your ticket. And so, yeah, that's why tonight I would expect – I wonder if the Rockets almost see this as a letdown game. Man, two huge wins over the Mavericks and the Bucks, the best team in the East and all this. I wonder if they look at this game tonight and let their guard down a little bit, and maybe Portland, if they're the hungrier team, could take advantage.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it just basically comes down to seeding and who you want to play. If there's a certain matchup, maybe you win or lose a game late to try and get to a certain spot or avoid somebody in the second round. You know, I think the thing about Houston that is so fascinating and why a lot of folks maybe thought they could be a dark horse here is just the style they play in the smaller lineup. It's just unique. You don't see it very often in the NBA, and obviously so far working through two games. How do you see that playing out tonight? I mean, Portland announced they're still going with Nurkic and Collins at the 4 and the 5, so they're going to stay with their bigger lineup, a traditional power forward and a traditional center. How has Houston fared rebounding defensively? Just how do you see that matchup playing with a team that's not going to go small ball with them?
Well, I mean, what's amazing what they did the other night against Milwaukee. Yeah. I mean, you get out-rebounded by 30-plus, and you still find a way to win the game. Portland's going to have the size, no doubt. I mean, you got the big man advantage. You're going to pull down more rebounds. You're going to get more second chance opportunities and put back shots. The key is simply going to be defending Houston on the perimeter. I mean, they have shown they are going to jack up threes as much as anybody, and you know they'll trade twos for threes all day. I mean, if Portland wants to live in the paint and eat away with their big men, well, Rockets are going to knock down threes and transition on the other end. So that's really what it comes down to. I mean, the other night they hit 21 threes against Milwaukee. If they're struggling at all from three tonight and they go cold, man, if I'm Portland, I just keep packing the paint and I keep pounding it down low and scoring at will. Because, look, P.J. Tucker is a great defender, but he got beat up in those games. When they went small ball the handful of games before the shutdown, he was getting beat up and pushed around by some of those big men. So I would not be surprised if Nurkic went to work tonight.
Chris, who do you guys hate in the NBA? Like, who is the Rockets' foe when you look around the landscape? Because I'll be honest with you, man, we hate Houston here. And that's look, that's not against the actual city. It's just the James Harden can frustrate people. You mentioned his offensive ability. I think it's out of this world. But
well, Westbrook and Dame have a bit of a
Westbrook
history.
And Dame have the history of what happened last year. I think tonight, you talk about letting the guard down. I think that's possible given how big the two wins are for Houston and how they're seated in that four slot. But I could see Portland getting this a little chippy, maybe engaging Houston and making this a great game. Who do the Rockets hate in the NBA?
I mean, for the longest, it was the Warriors, right? Because, the Rockets were – Daryl Morey assembled a team that basically was, you know, as good or, you know, good enough to go toe-to-toe with the Warriors but could never get over the hump. I had so many people always telling me, oh, Rockets stink because they lost to the Warriors. I'm like, oh, you mean the greatest team ever assembled with Hall of Famers? Like you can't hold them to that standard and say, oh, well, you're not as good as the Warriors. Nobody's better than the Warriors. But – with everything kind of broken up now, Durant gone from Golden State, obviously with all their injuries, and they're not even in the bubble. I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I think Dallas being a division rival, mm-hmm. You know, and seeing what they're becoming with their new duo of Porzingis and the Doncic, but you know, the Spurs, I think they still hate them. There's still no love lost between them. But, yeah, it does feel like there should be a rivalry between Portland because these teams are always super competitive when they meet up. There's still that bad taste in their mouth how Portland ended their season in the playoffs a couple years ago with Dwight Howard and Chandler Parsons when Damian Lillard hit that shot. It feels like there should be a little bit more rivalry between these two.
Yeah, it feels like we're all losing a villain, not having Golden State there. It's both nice and kind of sad at the same time because you miss having that one team that everybody can hate together. What's the latest on Eric Gordon? That was a pretty nasty ankle roll, losing 15 points per game. Have we heard anything just on how he's doing, how he's rehabbing?
Yeah, they say he's doing well. Mike D'Antoni, we talked to him yesterday. He said, you know, there's no timeline, but they're thinking – somewhere around at least the start of the playoffs, if not maybe a game or two before, just to maybe get his legs back under him. But what's an interesting thing to watch, this will be something interesting to watch tonight, is Daniel House for the Rockets has really stepped up his game. He's knocking down threes. He's defending well. He's a guy who's kind of benefited from the Eric Gordon injury. I know they don't play the same position, but watch how Daniel House plays tonight. It'll be interesting to see because he's had two really good games so far in the resumption. And, you know, it's going to make a tough decision for Mike D'Antoni when Eric Gordon does get back. You know, presumably you bring him off the bench to start, but he's a guy who, you know, is making big money. He deserves to be in the starting lineup if he's fully healthy. But I just think the way Daniel House is playing right now, you have to bring Eric Gordon off the bench when he does come back.
Yeah, Sports Talk 790. Chris Gordy is our guest here as the Rockets and the Blazers get ready to play tonight, 6 o'clock. On TNT. Has it surprised you at all how well it appears to have worked since they went to the small ball lineup? Obviously, they had that break with the COVID scare and then now with the bubble. Has it surprised you in any way of how well it's been working with Harden and Westbrook?
No, because when they first acquired Westbrook, that's what everybody was like, oh, how are they going to work? Two ball hawks. How do they play together? And a lot of people discounted, well, they did play together when they were in OKC. Yeah, Harden was the sixth man coming off the bench, but they played heavy minutes with one another. And, you know, they wanted to be together. They wanted to make this work. So we didn't really have any doubt that they would work well together. It's just it's really been impressive, though, how they're both getting their own. I mean, you look at the box score every night after a game, you're like, God, they both got their own with rebounds, assists, points. I mean, they're both just filling up the stat sheet with each other. So, no, it's worked really well. And, you know, dare I say it's probably worked even a little bit better than the Chris Paul-James Harden duo. They weren't bad together. They worked well, but the Westbrook combo with Harden just works a little bit better. Now, I would rather Chris Paul's three-point shooting over Russell Westbrook, but fortunately for Westbrook, he's only taken about two or three a game lately, so needs to keep those low. He is not a three-point shooter, and that's really an unfortunate quality in this Mike D'Antoni offense where you feel like all five men at the court at any time should be able to pull up from three.
Yeah. What's your call? You think Portland gets the win tonight because maybe Houston just had, you know, a comeback win, a big win over the Bucks? What's your call for tonight?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking Portland's a hungrier team, right? I mean, they fought back against Boston the other night and come up short. I just feel like there's so much on the line here with Memphis losing last night. You know, we'll see what San Antonio does these next couple games. But I feel like Portland's a hungrier team. And I think a lot of people want to see Portland. And I know ESPN probably – they want the Zion versus Lakers first-round matchup, but, man, come on. I mean, Lillard and McCollum first round against the Lakers, that would be just as exciting. So I think Portland is the hungrier team tonight, and I think Houston has a little bit of a letdown.
Well, hopefully it's a close game, and your results are right, that Portland can get that win much needed if they want to get that 8 seed. Chris Gordy, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, our guest here to talk Rockets, Blazers. Chris, we always appreciate the time up here in Portland, my man, so thanks for hopping on with us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. There we go. Great stuff from Chris Gordy of Sports Talk 790 in Houston. He thinks tonight could be one of those. Houston overlooks them a bit. They got a big win against Milwaukee. They had a big comeback win against Dallas, which I still don't know how that happened.
That was such a crazy
game. That weird free throw miss that they got to put back on.
Yeah, the rebound put back.
But look, give them this. Since they went to small ball, they're an entirely different team, and so far 2-0 in the bubble.
I think it's always a case when you play a team like Houston, and tonight the starting lineup staying the same for both teams, is which matchup wins out. Is it Houston's ability to run the floor, space Portland out, shoot the ball from all over the place? Is that the winning matchup, or is it Portland's ability to say, hey, we got a traditional five and a traditional four. We're going to pound you inside. We're going to out-rebound you by 20 or 30. And having a traditional NBA lineup wins out. It's going to be a fascinating matchup.
Well, let's get to that coming up next. We'll talk some more Blazers. The matchup that you highlight of Nurkic, Collins, and how we can compare that to Milwaukee. And then also some pretty good news maybe coming down the pipeline for Portland. If you missed this report, we'll tell you what that is. We'll do it next on The Fan. All right, let's talk some Blazers before we get to NFL True or False. By the way, there's a baseball game on a drone delay.
Was it Minnesota, Pittsburgh?
We'll dive into what that means.
Is it drones flying over the stadium?
I watched a little late, but I watched Portland, Boston, and I was golfing right at the start of that game, so I didn't watch it that night. I yesterday took the day off, had about 2 hours, and I just sat down and watched. I did not know. I had seen that they were down big, and then I did see the final score, and I was like, oh, I wonder if they got that in crunch, in like garbage time, or if it, and watching it was amazing to see the comeback from 24 points down, Dame being just dialed in, CJ hitting some big shots, just watching what they did was pretty remarkable. But they're 1-1 in the bubble. Lillard told Chris Haynes that they were thinking going 6-2 or 7-1 in their 8 games. He says he's packed for the full 3 months, so he ain't just trying to make the 8 seed and say, oh, that's cool. He wants to win it all, which, you know, we know that. There's also this pursuit of Trevor Ariza. So a few weeks ago, the Blazers were trying to pursue Ariza to consider joining them in the bubble. Ariza opted out of the restart due to a 1 month visitation window he had with his scheduled with his son. But because his visitation period had been amended with a conclusion date now near the start of August, there is some optimism among the players that Ariza might be allowed into the bubble to further strengthen their chances of a deep playoff run. They get Houston tonight, 6 o'clock on TNT. It's the primetime game. And you mentioned it, man. Styles make fights, and Portland likes to run big with Collins, Nurk, and Whiteside. Houston, their biggest player is like P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, so he's their starting center.
They're all in on the small ball approach.
Yeah, it's the Trevor Ariza thing's interesting. I hadn't seen that. He needs to hurry, though, because this is already game three. There's only 5 left after this, and he's going to have to quarantine before he is allowed to play. Lou Williams, I believe, just got out of his strip club quarantine. He's allowed to play today against the Suns. So that's going to take some time. Maybe they're just banking on making the playoffs, but it is not a foregone conclusion. New Orleans got a win last night over Memphis. So maybe the 8 seed is still in play because Memphis is now 0-3 in the bubble, but New Orleans gained a little bit of ground on you, and San Antonio has looked better than expected so far. I think they're 2-1 in their first 3 games in the start. So none of this is a foregone conclusion, and a lot of it, as you have pointed out and others have as well, will depend on what kind of teams Portland is playing and how engaged they are. Portland needs to be in playoff mode. They weren't in the first half against Boston. They were in the second half against Boston. You can't have lapses like that against good teams when you have 8 games to try and make a push and get into this situation. Maybe Houston takes the night off tonight. I'm not banking on that, though, because of what you also pointed out in the interview. There's a personal history here. Russell Westbrook doesn't like Nurkic. He doesn't like Damian Lillard, at least when they're on the court and they're playing. I think those kind of things will outweigh Houston maybe taking a night off or just resting on their laurels after beating Milwaukee. The key for when you play a Houston team is, you can't allow them to outscore you by a million from the three-point line. I think they outscored Milwaukee by 36 points from the three-point line, which when you say they got out-rebounded by 30, how did they win? Well, they had 36 extra points at the three-point line. So you got to go tit-for-tat with them on the, you know, shooting from distance.
Well, did that bother you with Boston? Because they couldn't do that with Boston.
Well, they ended up catching up at the end of the game.
They caught up at the end.
Yes, early on, they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn.
And that put them in the hole.
It did, and Boston couldn't miss. I think they shot 60% from three for the game. Portland ended up making a similar number, I think, at the out when the game was over because Dame got hot. But you have to be able to make them pay. You have to out-rebound them, which is a given most nights against Houston when they're a smaller lineup. But also, I just go after P.J. Tucker early in the game, try and get him into foul trouble, dump the ball down to Nurkic, who has looked lights out in the first 2 games. Just keep pounding the paint a little bit, and if they have to double team and you could swing the ball and get some open looks, you got to capitalize on those. But you got to make Houston pay for having a small lineup.
Can we talk about how great Gary Trent Jr.'s been?
Dude, he's been amazing, man. We highlighted that yesterday. I'm starting to buy in completely. I know that's dangerous because we do that all the time in Portland, but that guy looks amazing.
He seems to play with the same. He kind of brings that same intensity that Dame does, where he's like, sometimes he'll express it outwardly, but a lot of the times he's just a bulldog, man. He comes at you and He shoots it confidently. He puts everything in defending you and trying to stop it. I think they potentially have something really special there if they continue developing him and giving him these minutes and this opportunity. I've liked what I've seen from him. I do think watching the Milwaukee-Houston game, let's assume Houston's going all out tonight because, as you mentioned, Westbrook hates Dame, hates Nurk. You know, they're mortal enemies on the court. Harden, let's just pretend, for argument's sake, he goes full 100% tonight. Whew, it's going to be tough, man. They have been terrible on the perimeter defensively. There's one huge takeaway for them. And I was worried about that going in, as everybody else was, when you have Brown, Hayward, and Tatum on the perimeter along with Kemba Walker.
Yep.
They weren't good in the exhibition games or the scrimmage games, and they haven't got off to a great start thus far, even with the win against Memphis. And Memphis is playing like a young team that's a little starstruck right now. I'm nervous about their perimeter defense. How long do you ride a two big men rotation out there? I don't know. Maybe you just say, screw it. Houston's going to shoot way more threes than us. We're going to have to live with some of these makes. Hopefully we can respond with our version of that. And then you still have the advantage on the glass. Yeah. They got out rebounded by damn near 30, if not 30, as Chris Gordy highlighted. That didn't matter. They beat Milwaukee. Yeah. So, you know, the rebounding argument kind of goes out of the window a bit when you watch them beat the best team in basketball. Styles make fights, man. And this one, I feel like, kind of leans Houston, just the way we're playing bubble basketball right now, where before last night's Laker game, you largely weren't seeing any defense being played. It's teams getting into the 115s, 120s on a regular basis. So I'm not putting any stock on defense. Are you going to be able to roll two guys out there that are 7 feet, whether that's Whiteside, Nurkic, Whiteside, Collins, Collins, Nurkic, whatever? I just don't know if that's feasible. And we'll see how good Collins is, too, because his foul trouble with Boston hurts them early.
Yeah, that was a huge issue.
He looked like exactly the player we saw the first two seasons, where you can see the athleticism, you can see the potential, but he can't string it together and he gets himself into foul trouble. Maybe that ends up being a bit of a benefit because you have to run smaller, but the styles in which they're going to go against each other tonight with the two bigs and the all small ball system, I cannot wait, because I do think Houston, more and more as time progresses, I'm starting to buy into the theory of mass unpredictability in this bubble. Like, if you tell me the Lakers lose in round two, I'm not shocked. The Clippers, I'm not shocked. I don't know if we have clear favorites the way that we thought we did going into the bubble. Right now, looking in, given the teams we've seen them play, and how it hasn't gone exactly how we thought. Milwaukee lost to Brooklyn today.
Yeah, but, and I think a lot of that is them, that they have nothing to play for. They don't care. They're set in the Eastern Conference. So they had a couple of games early. They'll play their guys, but it's basically a preseason for them.
But I don't know who's winning the East. I don't know who's winning the West.
And it might
be,
sure, and I agree with you there. I think we could get random teams. I think that is what makes this 8-game stretch kind of unique, is that you just have some teams that are invested and some teams that are just going through the motions and waiting for the playoffs to start. And you're hoping, I think if you're Portland, then Houston is one of those teams tonight. They're into the four seed. They got nothing really to play for outside of seeding. You hope they maybe take the night off, because you desperately could use a win. The schedule continues to be brutal after this. The defensive note is 100% spot on. They're bad on that side of the floor. Zach Collins having stupid fouls early in the game does nothing to help them. He needs to be better than that. Like, we're past the point of you being a young pup that's just learning your way in the NBA. You have to be better than that and stay on the floor. You're one of the better defenders on the team. I speculated yesterday, does the change in the starting lineup come because Dame, CJ, and Carmelo Anthony can't keep anybody in front of them, and then Zach Collins gets into foul trouble? It's just a terrible combination.
Well, Dame did lock up Tatum for about
four
possessions.
The thing, though, is that in the second half on Sunday against Boston, there was a buy-in.
He set the tone. He made a block,
and Hassan Whiteside threw the ball away after setting that tone, which is a whole other conversation, but there was a buy-in on that end of the floor, and you wonder if that can carry over for them. On Hassan Whiteside, though, I am honestly getting to the point where don't play him. Shift your rotation. If you need to bring in Gary Trent Jr., first guy off the bench, move Melo to the four. I don't care. I'd rather have Melo in there because at least he can score and
what
do
about
something
Wenyan,
on that side.
Do you want to see Gabriel?
Wenyan Gabriel. Hassan Whiteside has been just a body out there. He is utterly useless in the first two games. He doesn't look engaged. He doesn't look like he cares. He's going through the motions. He's turning the ball over. It's just awful. Like, I don't want to see that anymore. There is too much on the line in the next six games. And if he's going to play that way, sit his ass on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I disagree with any of that.
Dude, he's been terrible.
He's not, yeah. I tried to make an out for him. Like, well, it's a new role. And I'm like, well, you get out there, you're still playing basketball.
Maybe
that
he's
doesn't
butthurt
change.
About coming off the bench because he was the starter all year. Maybe
he seems like he's keeping a good attitude during the game. He's cheering Nurkic on. Every time I've seen him, he's smiling. I think it's a bit of a, I went from being the starting center of this team for most of the year to now I'm the backup center.
It's irrelevant because Nurkic is playing even better than he was before the injury, which is crazy, and it's a whole different conversation. But
oh, we're buying into that already.
Dude, he had 39-5. Yeah. He looks healthy.
He had a good game.
He's so much better when Dame and CJ's ability to pass, set screens. Like, it's just such a better fit.
Can
than
you
what
imagine
they
if
Whiteside.
They can get Ariza to come?
He better hurry up because they need some defense.
I'll
they
give
need
you
it
this. They can get Ariza to come, quarantine, and miss-make the next three games. Dude, I don't know if that audience that suggests they could beat LA is insane.
Oh, you're buying in. Let's
go,
baby.
No, you're doing it. I'm just saying Ariza gives them an element that makes life more difficult for LA. That doesn't mean they'll beat them. It just means maybe it's not 100%. Maybe it goes to 97.
Have you seen Anthony Davis in the bubble yet?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. Just wanted to check on that one.
He's been the MVP of the bubble. I would not argue against that. What do you think? Blazers' chances tonight against Houston? I'm pretty jacked up, man. We get a 6 o'clock TNT game. Beautiful night. Might have to watch this one on the back patio with a beer.
Absolutely.
503-250-1080. We'll get to that coming up some more. But we got NFL true or false. What's true? What's false in the NFL? We'll find out next.
Welcome back, game 135. Hope your Tuesdays are going well.
So Tim Taylor of the Wolf has a Wolf mask, which, by the way, why did we not make one? KGON has one. The Wolf has one. 94.7 has one.
Do we? What do we put on ours?
Well,
just a logo? Do we put balls on there?
I think we do. I think we put two balls right by your mouth.
A basketball and a baseball.
Oh, God, no, just small little white balls.
Oh, golf balls?
Golf balls.
Okay.
We could have totally done that, but we're the AM station, so we're like the ugly redheaded stepchild
yeah,
of the building.
People forget we exist,
yeah. That is not true.
But the funny thing
is,
we're around Tim every day, and he still comes into the studio. He'll wear a mask.
He does, which, yes. Very thoughtful of him.
I appreciate also you don't need to. And his wolf mask has like a little fake wolf mouth right by his. So when he talks, his wolf mouth is actually moving.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. It's a good look, man. I need to pick like one of those up. Oh, you can go the other side, too.
See?
Oh, it's got a little tongue that sticks out? What's going on there?
Well, now that's kind of creepy.
That's a good look. Yeah. That's a good look. We need. Would you buy a 1080 The Fan face shield?
Not, no.
503-250-1080.
Oh.
That's next.
No, face shield, man.
Face shields are cool.
Or face mask, yeah.
Yeah, face shields are disgusting. You ever seen an older employee with a face shield?
Yeah, you get stuff that flies up on the screen there.
There's spit all over the front of their face.
It's like a windshield after a long drive on a highway. You know, you got some bird poo and some bugs on there.
Yes.
That's what happens.
No, I would not buy a fan face mask.
All right, well, it's good to see you, buddy.
You too, guys.
Glad to see you're doing well. All right, we got a lot to get to coming up. One quarterback wants more attention, and something going on in Seattle that I thought is pretty crazy. So we'll get to that. But first, it is time for a rapid-fire edition of NFL True or False. What do we got today?
Well, there's plenty of stories and rumors persisting. The Seahawks still flirting with signing Antonio Brown and or Josh Gordon for the 2020 season, despite all the baggage those two receivers would bring with them. True or false, Seahawks will have at least one of those oft-troubled pass catchers on the roster at some point in 2020.
Oh, this is true. It's not going to be Brown. I think they're going to bring Josh Gordon back. Pete Carroll, he's mentioned him like three times during the offseason, and I know it's all up to Roger Goodell in the NFL. It's got to be Gordon. I think he trusts Gordon the most because of his interactions with him. If Brown doesn't work for Gruden, okay, you can go, well, it's Gruden, it's the Raiders, maybe it's chaos. He went to New England and instantly effed it up. Do you really want to bring him in just...
Oh, he's got to sit 8 games first.
Right, he's suspended.
But it doesn't matter, though, if he's on the... Like, it's just no matter 8 weeks, no matter if he's on the roster or not. So you know he's available at least in week 9.
But do you want to bring him in the chance that he, like, has a worse version of what Percy Harvin did?
Did they win a Super Bowl with Percy Harvin?
I said a worse version.
Did they win a Super Bowl with Percy Harvin?
If Percy Harvin would have done more damage, would they have won the Super Bowl that year? I don't know. So I think they go Josh Gordon.
I think the second Denver hiked it over Peyton Manning's head, that thing was solidified no matter what Percy Harvin was doing behind the scenes.
True.
This is true, and I'm going to say that it is going to be Antonio Brown. He has been working out with Russell Wilson this year. I agree with everything you're saying on Antonio Brown. I wish he wouldn't get another opportunity. I'm tired of hearing about him, and he should be banned from the NFL. But Russell Wilson's voice carries some weight. They have a good relationship. They've been working out. You know he's available for the stretch run. And if you're Antonio Brown, what offense would you rather play in? It's a no-brainer for me. I know I'm going to get more looks. Russell Wilson throws the balls downfield. My numbers are going to be better in Seattle.
What are his options?
Baltimore has flirted with it, too.
I'd rather play in Baltimore.
Yeah, see, if I'm a wide receiver, I'd rather play in Seattle. So I think it's going to be Antonio Brown. Is this true?
Yeah, I think this is true. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities. They both might end up on the roster at some point, which
is going all in, man.
It's just sad.
What if they both got suspended again on the being on the same team?
Then we'll have the same segment next year.
Then I think it's time for somebody to haul.
Gordon's got to be banned at that point.
Sean Schneider and Pete Carroll into an office and go, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think at that point, both guys, you probably, for different reasons, you're saying, should they just get banned for life? We can't keep both these guys out there.
The deadline for NFL players to opt out of playing the 2020 season due to concerns over COVID-19, 1 p.m. Thursday afternoon. We've seen some more trickle in this afternoon. It's somewhere between 50 and 60 players so far making the decision not to play. True or false, less than 100 players total in the league will elect not to play in 2020 due to coronavirus.
I think this is going to be true. I think they'll get a handful more of them. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I took a day off. I forgot how to talk.
Hand more full of them?
Yeah, a hand more full of them. I think they'll get to about 75 to maybe 85 max. Quarterbacks have come out. Rodgers, Stafford tested positive, but they think it was a false positive. So now he's off that list. But you've had starting quarterbacks say they're going to play. I don't think it's going to build much more than it has.
I'm going to go the other way on this. I think we're getting closer to the deadline. Guys are going back and forth on what they want to do. Swag mentioned, I think we're creeping up towards 60, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it was right around 50 starting the day, and we've seen a few more be announced.
Yeah, trickle in. I think it's going to continue to build. I think guys are going back and forth. Now they finally agree to the new, you know, revised CBA or whatever it was. I think it'll go north of 100. I think this is false.
I think this is false, too. I think there's going to be a lot of guys who will, when push comes to shove, if the family, parents, spouse, maybe they have young kids, who knows, that'll force their hand when they've got to decide by Thursday afternoon. Number three, former Washington State quarterback Gardner Minshew placed back on the Jaguars' active list at training camp. He needed further COVID testing. He was negative. He had been in close contact with some that were, but now he's back active. True or false, Minshew is the regular starting QB for Jacksonville in 2020, will lead the Jags to more than the 6 wins he had in his 12 starts his rookie season.
Well, I'm not surprised that he had a false positive and that he actually verified as a negative. He beat all the STDs in Pullman. He's got a strong immune system. I think he will start for most, if not all, the year.
He's got a strong immune system.
But I do not think they're going to win more than 6 games. Now, here's the unfortunate part, Dirt, of Minshew. As much as I love Minshew magic, the mustache, the jorts, I think he's a guy that has pretty good awareness of who he is as a human being. He's just like, I play sports, whatever. That roster sucks.
Yeah.
And he had some games. I watched a couple of those where this isn't fair to him. It just kind of felt like watching the Tebow Bronco offense. If he didn't have the one throw that was perfect, it was a handoff, nothing. Throw, incomplete, sacked on third down. Kind of a boring system. He was fun, but I don't think they're winning more than 6 games.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's not necessarily all on him, as you're pointing out.
And I'm not saying he is Tebow. I just don't like what he has around him.
That team sucks, man. They might be the worst in the NFL this year. They're going in a restart direction. They needed to with the salary cap hell that they were in, sending some guys out of town. So it's not all on him. I also think sophomore years can be tough for quarterbacks where he catches guys off guard. There's not a lot. They didn't follow a lot of film on him before he started, being a late-round pick. Kind of came out of nowhere. He's not going to come out of nowhere this year. Teams can key on him. This is false.
Yeah, I think it's false. He might get to 5 or 6 there. I think there's a fair amount of uncertainty as to what's, you know, who knows what happens once the season gets going. But more than 6 is a big ask.
What's their over-under? 5?
I think it was 4.5.
Yeah. They're the team in the NFL actively tanking.
I might take the under.
Finally, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers making it official today, signing former Eagles and Bills running back LeSean McCoy to a free agent deal. True or false, McCoy will lead the Bucs in rushing yards for the 2020 season.
Can I give you my first thought when I saw the news?
No one cares!
This isn't 2012, man. Like, is LeSean McCoy still really that good? I know he had a decent show for Buffalo there for a while, but kind of up there on the age ladder. This move did nothing for me in terms of how I feel about the Bucks. I still think they're 9-7, 10-16, which could get them into the playoffs, but I don't view the LeSean McCoy signing as this earth-shattering news. He's getting to the tail end of the career there.
Yeah, when was the last time he was relevant, man?
I'll look up his stats, see what he did.
I guess it's probably been 4 or 5 years of him, I guess. I mean, that guy's bounced around. He was in Kansas City last year, right? Did he have any impact in Kansas City?
When do you think was his last 1,000-yard season as a rusher?
2017.
Okay. You either saw that and cheated or you hit it right on. 2017, he had 1,100 yards for Buffalo. The year before that, it was 12.
Yeah, he was a great back.
As you mentioned, last year, Kansas City, he had 460 yards. The year before that, 514. He's just...
Yeah, if he's leading your team in rushing, you got issues. This is false, and if it ends up being true, Tampa is absolutely screwed. It should be pointed out,
though. He's 32.
He's old, man, and New England has had a dynamic running game the last couple of years. That has been a huge boost for Tom Brady, and it's one of the main reasons that I'm not a huge believer in Tampa. They got great weapons. I just think Brady's over the hill. If they can't run the ball like they could the last couple of years, I'm not buying it. But this will be false.
I think this might be true. Oh, I don't know that his total might all be that high, but I think Tampa's just going to chuck it a ton.
You're going to go West Coast offense, throw 5 yards every play.
Here's the question. That you're probably right, but to Dirt's point, can 43-year-old, by the way, happy birthday, can 43-year-old Tom Brady, can he throw it on an average of 45 to 50 times a game? I know he had some performances in New England where the run game would be taken away and he'd throw it a bunch, but on a consistent basis, I'm not putting any stock in that.
He might only have 500 or 600 yards, but
they got the coward kiss of death today.
Yep.
What a coward say.
Half his show was about how everybody's doubting him and they shouldn't. They're gonna. They should be the favorites and
the favorites.
He loves them.
Okay. Did he watch Kansas City or Baltimore? Seattle?
He wasn't proclaiming they were gonna beat. He was just saying
suck now.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm just checking.
I don't hear the whole show. I just hear parts of it.
I'm just checking, man. Okay, there you go. NFL True or False every Tuesday at 1:30. We'll get to the mail sack coming up in the final hour, so get your questions in, 503-250-1080.
Guess what I forgot to tease again?
The mail sack. You got to tease that bad boy.
Well, that's a tradition like no other.
You get those questions in. Let's stick in the NFL coming up next, shall we? There is one quarterback that says he is tired. I repeat, tired of being disrespected. Should we be respecting him? Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness from Beaverton Aloha Division. All back up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com. Stop by one of the three locations. I'll be back at the glorious House of Gaines tomorrow morning.
No days off!
I got my
days off!
I got my pound gun in the mail.
Oh, you did?
Oh, game changer.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, boys.
Yep.
Game changer.
Taking you to Pound Town.
Dude, I'm just sitting there on the couch pounding away. God, it's amazing. Pounding those quads for a round of golf. Let's go. We got a lot to get to. A question, do you drink milk? Because that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, I'm starting to have, my body is not processing certain things well anymore, and milk is one of those things.
What do you mean? Like you're getting lactose intolerant?
I don't think I'm getting quite lactose, but yeah, if I drink milk, which by the way, does not happen almost ever.
Yeah, when was the last time you had a glass of milk? 503-250-1080.
Well, mine was a week ago. It was real. It was milk, not almond milk, and my guts were bubbling for like 30 minutes.
Can I ask the reason why you had a glass of milk?
My 4-year-old wanted to do like a toast.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I poured them glasses of milk. They were eating
That
like
makes
a
sense.
Pastry, and they're like, can sure. You have chocolate? I'm like, you're eating dessert.
No, drink milk.
And so they said, cheers. And my youngest was like, cheers. So I was like, okay.
I think back to the days when I was a kid, we used to have a glass of milk every night at dinner.
Same.
Every night.
Because it made you grow.
You got to build your bones, baby. We'll get to that. I'll explain it coming up in the final hour. Mail sack as well. Keep the questions coming in. Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
When I say Derek Carr, what comes to mind for people?
Lame duck. feels like he's being trotted out this year because know he's not going to be the franchise quarterback. It feels like he's not, and they're playing this song and dance of killing time. And if you told me that John Gruden really went into this year, which, by the way, year three or year four?
Year three for John Gruden.
If you told me year three, obviously wants to win the Super Bowl, but is also secretly rooting against his starting quarterback so he can get a Trevor Lawrence, I wouldn't be stunned. So lame duck is what I think, because it just feels like he's not wanted, and yet they're not going to make a move until they know they'll be okay financially.
Well, guess what, buddy? Derek Carr's tired of you. You know why? Because you disrespected him. He did a call with reporters today, and he was asked about if he considered opting out for the upcoming season. He responded by saying, "I did not. I have a lot to prove to myself. I have a lot to prove to my organization. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm tired of being disrespected. So there was no question I was going to play this year." Since his MVP caliber season in 2016, he is 17-30 as the starting quarterback for the Raiders, 62 touchdowns, 31 interceptions, a 93.7 passer rating. He's never started a postseason game. It's not necessarily his fault. He got hurt the 1 year and Connor Cook had to start in his place. But he said he's tired of being disrespected, which is a unique angle. I like having the fight a little bit. They clearly brought in Marcus Mariota in case things go haywire, which was the same position Mariota was in last year with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, but didn't he say this last year too?
Yeah.
I'm being disrespected and people overlook. What did you do last year?
21 touchdowns and 8 picks last year.
Come on, 21 touchdowns, 8 picks in this NFL, 4,000 yards, cool. That's good. That's a good thing. 21 touchdowns, 8 picks is not great. That's like Colin Kaepernick did that.
Yeah, that's where
Kaepernick had 19 touchdowns, 6 picks in his 14 games he played with Chip Kelly.
I think the interesting question too with him, because I agree with you. I view him a bit of as a lame duck. He just kind of is what he is. He's not an atrocious starting quarterback, but is he a guy that can, you know, change your team for the better outside of 1 year? That's the only, you know, outlier we have in his career. The rest of his career, we kind of have a large sample size now. He is what he is at this point. I think the question for them, he's not opting out. He's going to play. They have Mariota, who I saw they just tweeted out a picture of him in a Raider uniform, which is kind of weird to see. The unique part is he's never bad enough to be benched necessarily. Like with Mariota, there were a couple of moments early in that season where it was like, it was pretty ugly. They couldn't score. And it just, you could tell the offense was not clicking and they decided to make that move. I'm wondering if it will get bad enough for Derek Carr. Because you mentioned 4,000 yards is not terrible in the NFL.
You'd say
21 touchdowns is not where you want to be. You want to be more than that. But 21 touchdowns, it's not like the guy threw 30 interceptions last year. Right? 21 and 8 is not an atrocious line.
It's not terrible. But
that's the unique thing with Carr.
Did he get you excited?
No, it doesn't get you excited in any way, shape, or form. But if you're going to make a move, doesn't he have to suck? Or is it, if he's just average, do you bench him after 5 weeks?
And the passing percentage, by the way, it's like at the top of what you would want.
70% completion percentage.
Right? It's gone from 58, 60 to being good to jumping to this. 70% is now like at the top of what coaches are looking for. Part of that is a bit of the system and what Gruden kind of provides for them. I think he's good, but like I don't view him as a franchise guy. The MVP campaign where his season got a bit short just before the playoffs.
Yeah, 2016, I think.
You felt for him there. He was kind of a guy that I rooted for, too, because his brother was the first quarterback of the new Houston franchise. There was that, you know, story. And then he got sacked out of the NFL because his offensive line sucked. I kind of rooted for him in the Carr family. He made good at the beginning. And I think if you are to really prove and silence people, this is it. You're going into... What would this be? Would this be his fifth year as a starting quarterback?
I believe year five, yeah.
Year five as a starter. I know you got a new coach, but it's your third year in this system. There's really no more excuses. If you are that franchise guy, it's this year or it's not going to happen. You'll be a very, very nice backup. You'll be a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
He'll get the next chance. He'll be the next in line. You had Tannehill lose his job, find a starting job. Mariota's going to try and do that. Maybe he can't. Winston, he'll be the next in that line of a backup waiting for an opportunity.
And maybe like Tannehill, he'll take advantage of being a backup somewhere, right? A Philip Rivers backup. If they deal Brissett, Rivers hangs around, can't stay healthy, Carr goes to Indy. I could see that scenario maybe playing itself out. But when you watch him play, there's still an element of his game. It doesn't lead you to feel like he's winning this game for you. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of games where you'd watch with him and three and out, terrible throw. What the hell are you doing? Oh, hey, that was a good throw. Hey, right. Where did that good throw go?
Right. Why don't we see more of that?
And again, 70% completion percentage, great. 4,000 plus passing yards, okay. 21-8, that ratio is not bad. But 21-8 in the NFL for me, get to 30.
Yeah. So Derek Carr does an interview.
Get to 25. Right. I mean, 21 touchdowns as a quarterback.
He does an interview with a reporter saying he's tired of being disrespected, which basically points to the signing of Marcus Mariota to be looking over his shoulder, and it'll be curious to see how that dynamic plays out.
So do you think that's a legit thing for them the way it was in Tennessee where maybe
I don't think
four,
you signed
five?
Him. I don't think that was the point of signing Mariota. I think it's just a smart insurance policy. I don't think Tennessee wanted to bench Mariota. It was just a, man, I don't know if we can trust this guy. And if it doesn't go well, we got somebody that's been a starter in the league. We're not throwing in a terrible, incompetent, you know, atrocious quarterback. We're going to start a guy that's at least been a starter. So I think that was the same play for Oakland. We'll see how long it plays out. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness from Beaverton and Lower Division. All back up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com. They got great deals going on in the month of August. I'll be back at the Glorious House of Gains tomorrow morning. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Mail sack at 2:15. Get your questions in 503-250-1080. A crazy note out of Seattle that I want to get to. Should we dedicate an entire segment to Connor McDavid? What do you think? His hat trick last night? It's pretty. No, you didn't watch. Okay. I thought you were watching hockey. It's all right. We got hockey on right now.
Well, okay. Can we be honest about hockey? Very confusing what you guys are doing.
Okay. We'll explain.
We're doing eight regular season games and then doing
the playoffs. It's not that complicated. I'll let you know. It's easy.
Okay.
I'll fill you all in.
Walk me through it because I feel like I was watching an exhibition and then I turned it off and then you explained pre-show. So I was like, what?
No, it's all thing, man. We'll explain it. Also, when was the last time you drank milk? Because that was an excuse used in Major League Baseball. Load of final hour, don't go anywhere, Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.